power, spirit, and principle. 2 weeks ago, the National Sunday Service of the Canadian Unitarian Council focused on the eighth principle that was adopted at the end of November. This principle calls the member congregations of the CUC to covenant to affirm and promote individual and communal action that accountably dismantles racism and systemic barriers to full inclusion in ourselves and our institutions. The eighth principle, Black History Month, and the complexities of the Touchstone's theme of power all seem to come together in today's service. Now, some of you may have wondered about the choice of hymn 114 this morning. Forward through the ages, in unbroken line, move the faithful spirits at the call divine. Now, those lyrics were written by Unitarian minister Frederick Hosmer in 1908 to replace the ones that were originally written by Sabine Baring-Gould in 1865. And the music, however, was composed by Arthur Sullivan of Gilbert and Sullivan in 1871 to go with Baring-Gould's words. And I wonder how many of us found it impossible to hear the tune without hearing the original words. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Well, that the stirring martial music and those words became embedded in my consciousness in my early years. And even Hosmer's updating of the lyrics can't remove the original words from my memory. These militaristic words, with their sense of power over an enemy, did not seem to go very well with our UU principles of justice, equity, and compassion, interdependence, and our new eighth principle calling us to dismantle racism and systemic barriers. So I have to say hymn 114 is one I would never have thought of using before, but it did seem relevant today, given all of the issues around power that we've been dealing with. So I wanted to share that as an illustration of the complexity of talking about this subject of power. The Oxford Learner's Dictionary offers 16 different definitions of power that cover a wide range of meanings. However, I thought that there's a simplified definition that we can work with. It comes from a TED talk that Brenda Diebel shared. And Eric Liu in the TED talk suggests that power is the ability to make others do what you would have them do. Now, during that talk, he also goes on to talk about six sources of power. And he's specifically talking about the civic arena. The first three he mentions are physical force, wealth, and state action, which I think we can see and define as hard power or power over others. And the next three he mentions are social norms, ideas, and numbers, which can be seen as soft power or power with others. Starhawk offers some words on the meaning of power. Power over or domination is the power we're all familiar with, the power of a small group to control the resources or to limit the choices of others. Ultimately, it stems from violence and force and is generally backed by the police and military power of the state. But the word power itself comes from a root that means ability. We each have a different kind of power, the power that comes from within, our ability to dare, to do, and to dream, our creativity. Power from within is unlimited. If I have the power to write, it doesn't diminish your power. In fact, my writing might inspire you or illuminate your thinking. Power over seems invincible, but ultimately it rests upon the compliance of those it controls. No system of power can afford to use force to enforce its every decree. Instead, the fear of that force causes us to repress and police ourselves. If we refuse to comply, if we call the legitimacy of the system itself into question, ultimately the system cannot stand. Power from within is akin to what many cultures call spirit. Now, the global justice movement challenges the greatest amassing of police, military, political, and economic power the world has ever seen. And to do so requires great courage and the faith that ultimately creativity must triumph over violence. Back in 1900, then Vice President Theodore Roosevelt coined the phrase, "Speak softly and carry a big stick, and you will go far." Now, that phrase refers to two kinds of power, soft power and hard power. These two types of power are very different, as illustrated in the difference between the use of diplomacy versus military force. The former involves influence and persuasion, while the latter relies on violence and conquest. Although the term soft power was not coined until the 1980s, it has long been used by people like Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr., and the core of this method is nonviolence. For Gandhi, the idea of talking softly was combined with walking softly with a stick, and this display of soft power was formative in the Indian independence movement. The big stick was his personal power, informed by his moral values and his commitment to nonviolence. His big stick was composed solely of his soft power, but it proved sufficient to fuel nonviolent protests that eventually forced the British out of India. Now, Gandhi, a diminutive man, is a reminder that we all possess power, which consists of both soft power and hard power. The problem is that we often struggle with our power by denying it or misusing it, or at times by even abusing it. Using power well is not easy. Power is used best with humility and with the objective of creating a win-win result. And this can be done best when we seek to empower others. Now, power is inescapable. It is a fundamental component of reality, from the Big Bang to the elements of water, wind, fire, and earth that have shaped our blue marble planet since its birth. And power is also of consequence in the complex interplay of species for habitat, dominance, and survival, characteristics that spill over into the social interactions of humans in ways both refined and brutal. As a transactional reality, power ebbs and flows in every relationship, family, group, community, organization, nation, and so on. Often it is asymmetrical, with more power on one side than the other. Ideally, the exercise of power is regulated through rules and social mores and customs, as well as laws. In this context, power can contend with power without becoming destructive, as a system of rewards and punishments is employed. And when this is not the case, we are confronted with a capricious Lord of the Flies mentality that invites anarchy. The use of power becomes abusive in a destabilized social environment. Now, William Golding's novel, Lord of the Flies, illustrates this point in the disintegration of a society of shipwrecked schoolboys. However, in real life, I recently became aware of a situation in Tonga where a group of shipwrecked boys in the South Pacific actually did the opposite and worked together to survive and to thrive, demonstrating the efficacy of soft power. Now, power is both an abstract concept and an embodied reality. This embodiment can be captured in phrases like the power of love, of laughter, of touch, of forgiveness, of wisdom, and more. As a transactional force, we often describe power as either power over or power with. Externally, while power over could be benign, as in the loving relationship of a parent and a young child, it is more commonly associated with the relationship of the oppressor to the oppressed, a power dynamic that is as ancient as humanity. Internally, power over is the ability to master the self through spiritual discipline. When this is accomplished, the individual wields power in ways that can enhance the common good. And the ability to master power internally is a precondition of the ability to share power with others. As Lao Tzu put it, knowing others is intelligence, knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength, mastering yourself is true power. So power with is far more powerful than power over. With the latter, power is often misused and abused for the benefit of the few. With the former, power is multiplied and shared for the benefit of the many. Still, while power can be shared, it cannot be conferred. Power must be taken by the person to whom it is offered. If it is not, empowerment is impossible. While we often tend to think of power in terms of force, even brute force, and thus as being coercive, power can be employed more deftly through reason and persuasion, as we appeal to another's self-interest, compassion, or the common good. Ironically, there is a tendency for many people with power to minimize or dismiss it. Rather than owning the power they do have, they act as if they have little or no power. Asserting that one is powerless when one has power is disingenuous. The result is a failure to exercise the power that they do have for the benefit of themselves and others. As Marianne Williamson writes, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light and not our darkness that most frightens us. Now, I would agree with Starhawk that power from within is akin to what many cultures call spirit. And Scott Russell Sanders put it this way. In trying to show what binds together the seeming scatter of things, I find myself pointing to an elusive energy, a shaping power that flashes forth in nature, in gesture, in human speech and action. And when I glimpse it, I can do little more than cry, "There it is." All the names we use for the fire at the heart of matter are risky. God, Yahweh, Creator, Allah, Manitou, among countless others, for each comes freighted with a long, compromising history. From all the possible names, I favor spirit, because the word seems to catch the lightness, radiance, and wind-like subtlety of the power I seek. This power seeks me as well, or so it seems, for time and again, I feel the pressure of an inescapable force that is sometimes delicate, like a wing brushing my face, and sometimes fierce, like a hand squeezing my heart. A reading from Frederick Douglass points out that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. We have seen this with the Black Lives Matter movement, which has largely incorporated Martin Luther King's ideal of nonviolence. As we consider our new eighth principle, we need to look at what implications it has for us as a UU community. We are certainly familiar with systemic racism in this area, mainly in terms of our Indigenous neighbors. Now, here at LUF, we've worked on this through the Truth, Healing, and Reconciliation workshops and follow-up, though this is an ongoing process. We've moved into a space, albeit temporary, which is physically accessible. We've been a welcoming congregation for decades, and women have played a major role in this community throughout our history. We have miles to go before we sleep, and in this Black History Month, it might be a good time to look at this aspect of racism and systemic barriers. Here are some words from John A. Powell that may give us something to think about. The invisibility of whiteness means that one doesn't have to notice that one is white. So there are people, and then there are Black people. There are people, and there are Latino people. There are people, and then there are Indigenous people. And people, just folks, turn out to be white, but we don't notice it. White people have the luxury of not having to think about race. That is a benefit of being white, of being part of the dominant group. Just like men don't have to think about gender. The system works for you, and you don't have to think about it. So, they live in white space, and then they don't have to think about it. First of all, they think about race as something that belongs to somebody else. The Blacks have race, Latinos have race, maybe Asians have race, but they're just white. They're just people. That's part of being white. And I wonder how many of us can relate to that and think about it in terms of our connection to the eighth principle. And I want to share some words now from the Unitarian Universalist theologian James Luther Adams, who lived from 1901 to 1994. And he writes, "The authenticity of power requires power with, not power over. It requires love. It also requires social change, or a redistribution of power in society. As Adams wrote, progress in the authentic use of power has been marked by the inclusion of marginal people in the systems of power. Just as language is constantly enriched and enlivened from below, so society can be constantly enriched and enlivened by the marginal people with their highly creative potential." Adams wrote, "Authentic power is neither poison nor insatiable lust, neither coercion nor corruption born of pride. It is the power that can exhibit the imagination of bold invention, the power that can respond to ultimate power that shapes new communion and new community. Speaking truth to power is an exercise of power, truth-telling that affects authentic change. Being a person of courage is not the same as being a person of principle. Courage requires us to act in accord with one's best understanding of what makes a community just. It means dealing with power as well as with kindness. And power that depends on the use or the threat of violence is not blessed. And still, passive acceptance of injustice is also a form of violence. And dissent from social injustice, while producing social conflict, is an authentic and nonviolent exercise of power." Words from James Luther Adams. Now, this talk today has been challenging, as some of the words about the struggle for social justice has been used by those occupying the streets of Ottawa. In recent weeks, we have seen in the so-called freedom convoys an exercise of power purporting to be dissent from social injustice, but which relies on misinformation, the threat of violence, and demands power over rather than power with. To adapt the words of Black author James Baldwin, "The relationship of morality and power is a very subtle one, because ultimately, power without morality is no longer authentic power." So may we find ways to the true wisdom of knowing ourselves and the true power of mastering ourselves, so that we can share our power with each other, with our community, and with the world. May it be so.